have all of you here. I know we have some first-time guests. It's so good to have you. We just say welcome to you. Just sit back and enjoy the presence of the Lord. Amen. And if you don't have a church home, then we just say welcome home. Because we know the Holy Spirit drew you here today. Amen. So excited what the Lord is doing at Faith Builders Church. He's moving with just a beautiful hand of his Spirit. And over the last 3 weeks, we've had over 50 people give their heart to Jesus. And that is so exciting to know that God is moving and people are hearts are being tender towards him and surrendering all. And we are currently working with our pastor and elder board. As you heard, we went to a conference last week and your pastors got blessed. I mean, how many know we need to get blessed and filled up? Amen. And we were able to get away and just hear the word. And we have a plan from the Lord to really take the new Christians or the new people coming into our church. And we want to filter you in through the kingdom of God to find a place to serve Jesus. Amen. So we just want to get you excited and get you prepared that we are putting those things in motion, that we don't want you just to take up a blue seat here at Faith Builders. We want you to be a part of building the kingdom of God at Faith Builders and what God's called you to do. How many know we all have gifts and talents on the inside of us? And we want to recognize what's in you so that we can launch you to fulfill your purpose. You know, there's been no greater joy in my life. I've done a lot in my life, traveling and pretty extravagant things. Me and Pastor Jenny swam with a big old, a whale shark. We swam with a whale shark. I'm still in shock that we did that. But I've done wonderful things in life that has brought joy or happiness on earth. But there's been nothing more fulfilling than doing the will of God in my life and fulfilling the purpose and plan of God. You know, God gave us this amazing earth to live in and to dwell and to enjoy all the benefits of it. We serve a mighty God, amen? But with that, we're here in purpose. And our desire is to launch you into that purpose. And so with that, the Lord really put in my heart a message that I want to bring over the next 4 weeks to Faith Builders. So I just encourage you to make it every Sunday. Make it a priority. Don't let the enemy steal your Sunday. Amen. Come to the house of the Lord to be trained and equipped and to get back on track. And so the next 4 weeks, and I encourage you, bring your notebooks or your iPads and take notes, and you go home and reflect on them. When I was at the conference, I had my iPad out. I couldn't take notes fast enough. Why? Because we retain 80% more of what we write down than what we hear. And even then, when I went home and I looked at my notes, I'm like, oh, I don't even remember writing that down, you know? So it brings a remembrance during the week as you go home and study so that we can hide God's word in our heart. Amen? We don't want God's word just in our head, because how many know that gets messed up real quick? But when it's in my heart, nobody can take it from me. Even the devil can't steal the word of God from your heart. Amen? So that's where we want to get it to go. But I'm going to talk to you over the next 4 weeks about learning to hear the voice of God. Because if there's anything I've heard in my walk with the Lord over the last 30 years is that people have a hard time believing that they really hear God's voice. Did I hear the voice of God? Did I hear the devil knocking on my door? You know, or was it just the pizza I ate last night that kind of gave me this impression, you know? There's many things that we think is or is not the voice of God. And I really want to teach you and train you that God is always speaking, that we serve a speaking God. I know there's been seasons I go, oh, God's not speaking. Yes, he is. He's always speaking. He's always trying to get his truth to you, his direction to you. He's always trying to guide you. But it's not the problem of God, the one who speaks. It's the one that's supposed to be listening. That we have areas in our life that we've got to examine so that we can clearly hear as God is speaking. Amen? I believe that every one of you, God has a plan and a destiny in your lives. And there are some decisions that we can make in our life that God's like, you can make up all on your own. Like, I don't need to tell you what to wear, right? I don't need to tell you to obey the speed limit. Barb Pruitt, because I'm guilty, right? There are some things that are law or common sense that we know we should or shouldn't do, but there are some life-altering decisions that God wants us to make, and he wants us to make the ones he's deciding for us. And we've got to begin to be able to navigate the ability to hear that still small voice of God. You know what's so awesome in our walk with the Lord is sometimes we can just bump in the will of God. How many of you are just bumped in the will of God? like his grace is there and you're like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Some of you walk through this door of this church and you bumped into the will of God. You are not here by chance. You are here sent by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And those are awesome things. But there are times where we need to listen to the speaking God. And we have to learn to discern his voice. Amen. In Genesis 1:3, we learn at the very beginning, chapter 1, when we're learning about the God that we serve, verse 3, straight out the gate, what did the Bible say? It said, then God, what did God do? It's not a trick. God said, everybody said. Then God said, at the very beginning, we are learning that our God is a talking God. He talked at the very beginning, and if you'll go to the end of the book in Revelations, you find that the scriptures are speaking to the church, and some of you may be familiar with this scripture. If not, in Revelations 1, 2, and 3, you can go read it on your own. But it says this, let them that have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. So at the very beginning, God is talking. And at the very end, God is still talking for you to hear. So that tells me that in between the beginning and the end, what is God doing? He's talking. He's talking his will. He's giving you direction. He's giving you an unction of his Spirit of when to go left and when to go right. We serve a speaking God. Amen. Some of you may be in the middle of a life-altering decision, and you need to know the will of God on it. Not those easy decisions, but I'm talking about life-altering decisions. Maybe you're sitting here today and you've not even accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior yet. That's a life-altering decision. And throughout this entire service, I know you're going to hear the Holy Spirit tugging your heart to surrender your life to him. Why? Because we serve a speaking God. Amen? But then there's other decisions that we need to make. Who am I going to marry? And if you're married, it's too late. You're married. This is not a ticket to freedom. Okay? You single folk, you want the will of God and who you're going to marry. You want to know what the Spirit of the Lord has to say, right? What job am I going to take, right? There are altering decisions. Do I relocate or do I stay? There are altering decisions that came in my life that relocation was the will of God. I was a certain age, and God called me to Arizona. He called me to relocate by his Spirit, but I had to hear that voice of God to know when I was to move and when I was not to move, because making a wrong decision can alter the very course or the fabric of God's design for your life. How many know we need to hear the will of God? Amen. So let's just open up to John 10, verses 3 through 5, and I've done the NIV, this particular teaching, to help bring it home a little bit. So if you have your New King James Version that we normally use, you can kind of filter it in. But it says this, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. So what do we see here? God is talking. And what are the sheep doing? They're listening. So some who may be at the very foundation, sheep is symbolic of us as children of God. When we come into the kingdom of God, we serve the great shepherd, which is Jesus Christ. So the scripture verse in John is saying, when the gatekeeper opens the door, the sheep are listening to his voice. See, sometimes God doesn't come down in this big magical boom, stand at the end of your bed speaking to you. I wish he would do that sometimes. But sometimes there's this still small voice that we need to have a responsibility to recognize when he's speaking. And we'll get into why sometimes we don't. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So when God looks at you, he's calling you by your name. And we may think, well, God's speaking to specific people, spiritual people, maybe the biggest givers in the church or the people who read the Bible the most. And that's not what the Word of God says. He says, if you are his sheep, you know the voice of the shepherd. And he is calling you. He's calling you to come to him. He's calling you to shift your behavior. He's calling you to break some addictions in your life. He's calling you to obey his voice. I don't know what area you need to hear and obey the Lord, but he is calling you. They have said, shepherds have said, if you study it out, two groups of sheep with different shepherds can actually come into a path together and get all mixed up together. But all the shepherd has to do is make a certain whistle or a sound that sheep will know. And that sheep, they will cross each other and they will all follow the voice that they know. There's no confusion in God. We confuse it. We muddy it. But God says, you know my voice. But maybe as believers, we've learned to tune out that voice, to hear what we want to hear, or not follow the voice that assignment that he's saying that we need to follow. Amen? So he's saying, go on. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. I want to encourage you today, you know the voice of the Father. Don't let it be based on how you think you feel spiritually qualified enough to hear the voice of God. There is no qualification other than being his kid. You are able to hear his voice. And I'm going to help you navigate how to do that this morning. How many would like that? Me too, amen. Goes on to say, but they will never follow a stranger or competing voices. They'll never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. How powerful is that scripture verse? Let's go to Proverbs 3, verse 6. This is in the Message, and it says this. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. Not just in one thing, besides getting dressed and, you know, all the basic, brush your teeth, put on some deodorant, y'all. Kind of close in this church, right? But he says, in everything you do, seek the hand of God on it. How about before you make an infamous Facebook post when you're really angry about something or someone? I'm just saying, I don't know if any of you do that. I'm not here to judge. But what? I'm going to seek the Lord's advice in those kind of things. How about the way that I respond or treat someone in my life? The way that I talk to them? Maybe I need to seek the voice of the Lord and how I am to respond and behave in love and forgive. Amen? You'll make better decisions when you stop and seek the Lord on everything that you do. How many know the Lord knows your days? They're already written for you. He's the navigator of all of your days ahead of you. The Bible says he already fashioned them before they came to be. So I would rather follow the navigator who knows my end result, even though I may not like some of his yeses or his noes, but I know that he's going to get me to a destiny that's going to be full of joy and promises. Amen? I would rather follow the one who knows the end of my story than the one who really doesn't care. Right? We want to follow the shepherd in our life. All right. So let's open up. Let's get into this. It's important in hearing God's voice is that we learn to prepare to hear God's voice. We have to prepare our hearts to hear. The problem is not on a speaking God. It's on the receiving end of the one listening. In Luke 8, chapter 8, it says this, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. You have to realize that God is speaking to you every day. And our prayer should be, as believers, if not from this day forward, God, give me ears to hear what your spirit has to say. Let me hear the voice of the shepherd so that I don't make a decision in my life that's going to derail me and cost me my time, cost me my energy, steal my joy from me. God, give me ears to hear what you have to say to me in my life. And we have to sharpen our hearing. Sometimes we have to slow down to hear what God has to say. So let's open up to Luke. Let's read this whole story here. It says in Luke chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. Many of us know this verse, but I think I'll break it down in a way that would be new for you today. It says this, a farmer went out to sow his seed. Now the seed is the word of God, right? Which the word of God is what? God speaking. That's what the word of God is. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. What happened? Something stole the seed. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, and the plants withered because they had no moisture, what happened? Something was competing with that word. We're going to break this down in a minute. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Something was smothering the word of God. Still other seeds fell on good soil. Everybody say good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. Can you see the different soils? What we're talking about. Now, seed represents what? The word of God. Soil represents what? Our hearts. So it's important that we prepare our hearts for the word of God to be settled in it. There is a preparation process. And it goes on to say, when he said this, he called out. This is where we read before. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The first thing I want to share with you this morning is the number one preparation. The problem that we have as believers is we have a polluted heart. We have a polluted heart. If we read in Luke 8:12, it says, those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes, right? And takes away the word from their hearts so they may not believe and be saved. Every time God is trying to speak to you, the enemy is trying to throw something in the mix to make sure you don't receive the word of God. The enemy will make sure that he pollutes your heart so that you will close up your ability to hear what God has to say. And that doesn't mean that God isn't speaking. It means that something is blocking my clarity to hear God's voice. The word pollute there means harmful or poisonous or toxins. I guarantee you, the moment that you want to open up and say, I want the will of God in my life, I could probably ask many of you in this room that said, I made a decision to serve Jesus. I want the will of God in my life. And the enemy came on your tail like a flood. He discouraged you. He weighed you down. He made problems come your way. Why? Because the enemy is trying to make toxin your heart so that you can't hear what God has to say. Because where God wants to take you is into joy, into breakthrough, into your destiny, and into your purpose. Where God wants to take you is into a beautiful marriage, a restored marriage. Where God wants to take your children is serving them all the days of their life, living in destiny and purpose. God wants you to win the lost, win your neighbors for Jesus, amen? Lay hands on the sick and see them recover. That's what God wants for you. So the enemy's like, I'm going to pollute their heart and I'm going to block it so that they will never hear what God has to say in their life. They hear the word. You come into church, oh, that's a great word, right? And you get out that door and the enemy trips you up. You get a phone call or you get a text or you get a report. And we've got to recognize that is the devil. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He is the destroyer of your joy, not your life. Because God came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. But the devil wants to steal your joy. God is trying to speak to us, but we have junk in our heart. I don't know what that pollutant is. Everybody has different stories here today. Maybe you've been angry with the Lord and you're frustrated in life. That's a toxin in your heart. Maybe you're harboring unforgiveness or disappointment or somebody hurt you. That is a pollutant in your heart. That is not God not speaking to you. That is a heart issue that you've got to get out of the way so you can hear what God is saying to you. The enemy tries nonstop to try to put things in our heart and pollute us. With a polluted heart, listen to this, when there are issues of the heart, it wouldn't matter what God is saying because the pollution is taking over. So God can completely trying to direct you, but because there's so much trouble in your heart, you're blocking the ability to really hear the Lord. We have to take responsibility to get the issues of our heart and release them to the Lord. Find his grace and his mercy, which we'll talk about in just a minute. Pollution in our heart comes in one of two forms that we have to take responsibility over. One, pollution is something that we do to ourselves, the choices we make, or even the sin that we commit. Now, I'm not here to be a sin-conscious pastor because I don't believe in that, but I believe there is a conviction of sin that the Holy Spirit brings. And when you are living in a sin, or not just sin, because the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So every one of us sitting in this room have sinned, and we continue to make mistakes, and we continue to fall short. But I'm talking about the sin that is unrepented. There's an unrepentance, there's an accountability that the Holy Spirit begins to trouble our hearts for the things that trouble him. And when he begins to come to your heart and convict you of sin, not the pastor, Not the preacher, not anybody else. Nobody should condemn you of what's in your heart. But when the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, that's a pollutant that he's saying, I need you to get rid of that lifestyle. Get rid of that thing in your life because it's blocking your ability to hear the destiny call. Remember, God is always speaking, amen? So we have to repent of those sins. And we need to give them to God, a full surrender. Repent isn't something that we have to crawl through broken glass and, oh, God, please forgive me. I mean, you know, John the Baptist, he loved to beat himself up. You know, the Bible says that he took a furry animal. I don't even know what kind. If you know, shout it out. But the Bible says that instead of putting the soft side on him in the desert, he turned it inside out so he could feel all the prickles and the pain. And God paid the price for you, amen? Jesus paid the price for you. So sin is this. I'm going this direction. Lord, forgive me of this direction, and I'm going to turn from it. That's repentance. That is saying, I don't like this direction that I'm going. Holy Spirit is dealing with me in this direction. I'm hearing him, so I'm going to repent of that thing, get it out of my heart so that I can hear what God has to say. Amen? Coming to church, you come just as you are, but when you're in this house, let him clean you up so that you don't have the noisiness, so that you don't have the shame. What keeps us away from God? Shame and guilt. It keeps us away from the very greatness of God has. And God's like, just turn from it. I sent my son, it's paid in full. How many would like to go to a buffet paid in full? You would belly up to that bar. Pastor Paul did it in Vegas. Pastor Say really did it in Vegas. And like 10 trips to the bar. That's 10, Pastor Say. I made quite a few trips myself, didn't I? Right? But it's been paid in full. So let's get that out of the way. Amen? If you're carrying around the shame or guilt, let's give that to the Lord. The only difference is someone sitting next to you who can hear God's voice and follow it, and someone else you're struggling is because you haven't given that thing over to the Lord. Amen? It's the only difference. Let's give that to God. Trust the Lord with your heart. Be vulnerable to his presence. Amen? All right. And number two, the reason why pollution comes. One, choices we make. Number two is people did it to you. People hurt us, don't they? I've learned in my walk with God that the enemy will always, always use someone close to me to hurt me. A family member, right? My marriage, my kids, my pastor, somebody in the church. Why? Because it matters. The enemy's not going to use somebody out there you really don't care about. The enemy will use somebody right next to you so that he can pollute your heart, get you offended, get you rejected, and cut you off from the vine so that you can't hear the voice of the Lord. Anytime you decide to draw close to the Lord, guard your heart, because get ready, the enemy is going to try to stir up some kind of junk in your life. And what we have to recognize as his kids, and especially after this morning, when that family member rises up against you, when somebody close to you and your marriage has conflict, you better recognize that the devil is coming to steal from your life. And you have to say, oh no, not today. Oh, no, not today. I recognize you, devil. I recognize your schemes. I recognize your dirty, rotten ways. I'm not going to be tripped up by my family, my spouse, my children, my boss, my paycheck. You're not going to trip me up. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. My heart is going to be like good soil because I have to hear what God has to say in this season. And what God is saying, I'm about to turn it all around for good. I'm about to promote you. I'm about to give you favor. I'm about to heal you. I'm about to restore you. Your kid that's lost is about to be found. What you don't know, in the midnight hour, I'm sending a believer to the streets to find your child, to share my love and lay hands on him. Amen? That's what I need to hear from the Lord. I need to hear his goodness. I need to hear his hope. I need to hear his joy. We need to quit being rattled by the offenses of people and getting offended at our pastors. Let it go so that you can hear the voice of God What you have to do is rise up in a righteous anger and say, enough is enough. I'm not going down that path any longer. I'm not going to lose my joy. I'm not going to lose my hope. I'm not going to be worried or frustrated, wringing my hands, what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. That's the only thing I can do. Because he's written my story. He has version number, you know, like there's different, you know, books. Like I might be on book 10 right now. I hope there's like 100 more books. In Jesus' name, I have a long life, right? But I want the one who wrote my story to open that book and turn the next chapter. And I want to see exceedingly abundantly above all that I could think, dream, or imagine written in that book. I want to know that I fulfilled every plan that God wrote for my life because I had ears to hear. Amen. What the Spirit has to say. We've got to release that. And when you know you've ever been just like, I'm going to go into prayer. Anybody like, I'm going to set this time aside for Jesus. And all of a sudden you sit down, you're getting real spiritual. You got your notebook out, you know, maybe lit a candle. You feel, you know, kind of ambiance. You know, you're feeling real spiritual and you start to pray. And then all of a sudden you start feeling that thing about that person. That dirty, rotten dog. It was like 20 years ago, dirty dog. Everything that I could be going through comes in when I'm about to pray. I could think of every task that I have to do at church as the second I go to prayer. I may forget, what do I got to do today? Let me pray. Because the devil will remind me of all my tasks while I'm about to pray. Why? Because he's trying to pollute my heart. He's trying to busy me so that I can't hear what God has to say. Amen? All right. In Matthew, it talks about the Lord's Prayer. So powerful. He's giving us, this is how you should pray. Many of us know the Lord's Prayer. But the last verse, I think I gave it to you guys, Matthew 6:14 says, after everything, he said, this is how you pray. This is how I want you to come to me. This is how you're going to hear my voice. And then he says at the very end, what's he say? If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive yours. What is he saying? You're going to say all these prayers, but guess what? Before you hear me, you got to forgive so that I can forgive you. You without sin cast the first stone. Right? So maybe I need to forgive myself. Maybe I need to forgive others. But to get that pollutant out of my heart, we have to forgive. There's a season in my life I had to kind of forgive God. It wasn't that dramatic, like I need to forgive God. But I had lost trust that God really knew what was best for me. I thought for sure I did. I thought for sure I knew God's timing and plan. And I realized I took things into my own hands and I hurt myself and I hurt other people along the way. Right? So we have to be willing to even say, I'm going to trust God when I don't understand the seasons. And I'm going to listen intently before I move, before I make a decision, before I continue to be offended. Amen? Amen. So in that time when you feel that, you release that person to the Lord. You forgive them. When it rises up, say, Lord, I forgive them. Doesn't mean you have to be their best friend again. Doesn't mean you have to welcome them in your home. I don't know what situation you're in, but forgive them. And when you do that, there's like this feeling of, it's out of the way. Now, God, amen, I can hear what you have to say. James 1, verse 22 says this, and the New Living Translation says this, get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives. What is filth and evil? It doesn't have to be huge sin. It's anything blocking the ability to hear God. Our past can block the ability to hear God. He's saying, get rid of it and humbly accept the what? Message of God. What is the message? The voice of God. What is God doing? We serve a talking God. He is always speaking, amen? So when you get rid of the garbage, right? Humbly, now I can hear and humbly accept the message of God that God has planted in your hearts, for it is strong enough to save your, what? Soul. You see how powerful it is to get that out of the way so that God's word can save my soul. So what do we have to do? We have to repent. God invites us to turn and change our direction. What you have to do is say, God, am I going in the wrong direction of my life? We can't begin a new life until we turn from the old. Amen? We have to make a decision to turn from the old. All right, number two. Luke 8:13 says this, the rocky soil represents those who hear the message with joy. The message is what? The word of God. The rocky soil represents those who hear the message with joy. But like the young plants in such soil, their roots don't go very deep. They believe for a while, but they will wilt when the hot winds of testing blows. What's happening here? This is a place where you come to church and you hear a message that rocks your world. Like today's message. Right? It's exciting you. You're like, yes, that's what I need to do. I need to hear the voice of God. But as soon as you walk out that door, there's going to be something to compete with that voice. There's going to be something that's going to try to alter what you just received from the Lord. Amen. You may hear a word like something you've never heard before, but the enemy's going to come and he's going to busy you. He's going to bring so much noise into your life. Number two is the distracted heart. The enemy wants to distract us in life with the busyness, running here, running there, taking the kids here, taking the kids there. And God's like, you're in a life-altering situation and you're still so busy. The world is competing for my voice. And when the world is competing for God's voice, it chokes out the promise that God spoke over your life. It chokes out this very word. Something will compete and try to steal it from you. The devil hates the truth that's in your life. I can be in a room full of people, and I can be standing right next to someone that is talking to me, and there could be 50 other people in the room, and I will hear the farthest voice away from me. It is so frustrating. I have to like look right in the person right in front of me. I have to look right in their eyes, and I have to try to focus on really what they're trying to say because there's so many other distracting voices that I can't hear the one closest to me. There are so many noises in your world. There are so many distractions, whether they can be good distractions. You can be busy about good things, and it still is a distraction and dulls your ability to hear from God. I remember a season in my life I was I was young, I was in college, and me and my friends, we ran. I never slept. Like, the only time I slept was in a tanning bed for 10 minutes. That was like my nap time, you know? And then I get back up and I run like a fool. And we all love Jesus. I mean, we'd go to the lake and we'd have a guitar. We'd worship Jesus. And then we'd, you know, ski all day long and grill out. And Jesus was all up in the mix. We were serving the Lord. But I woke up one day and the Lord says, I want you to pull yourself alone for a while. And I'm like, what? I did not just hear the Lord say that. I mean, these are my Christian friends. We're going to church. We're loving Jesus. We're doing picnics. And the Lord says, I want you to pull yourself alone with me for a while. And I have to tell you the truth. I didn't want to listen to that voice. Because the next event, thank God Facebook wasn't back then, because that's like the biggest punishment. Like God says, don't go to that party. You're like, oh God, I have to see it in Insta stories. I got to see it on Twitter. I got it, right? We really feel left out on those occasions. But I remember one day the Lord says, I want you to spend time with me. God was trying to get my attention. I was distracted, even with the good. And so the Lord says, there's a change coming in your life, and I need you to hear me. I'm about to do something about destiny, and you're too busy to hear me. And I remember that first event that all my friends went out, and we had fun. I'm not kidding you. Like, we had fun. We knew how to have a good time, and I knew what they were going to do, and I had to stay home, and I remember going, this is crazy. I felt so left out. I didn't quite know what my own identity was because I'm used to running with my friends, but it was during that time that the Lord told me to slow down that he launched me into full-time ministry with my family. He changed the whole course of my life. Now, is God about having fun? Yes. Go have fun, enjoy life. But when he tells to slow down, quit distracting yourself from hearing these life-altering decisions that you need to make. We get busy dating, date. Oh, I love you. You're so cute. You rock my world. And hey, we all want that, right? But married people, does it last? Does it? Aw, Pastor Paul, give it up. You just ruined my point. Thanks a lot. Anyway, point three. No, just kidding. Right? But we get distracted. Maybe we need to stop and hear what God has to say about the relationship. How can we bring Jesus back in the center of it? Maybe he got lost a little bit. Ooh, it's quiet, I know. This is for all your friends on Facebook, not you sitting here in a blue chair. Amen? Don't be so distracted, right? Don't let anything compete with God. What is competing with God in your life where you're not hearing him? How about our cell phones? These are the biggest distractions ever, and I love it. I love every bit of technology, but whenever those little red lights start popping up and I got a notification, I'm like, oh, my God. Like I could be talking to somebody, I'm going, I got to see what that red light is about. What is that notification on Instagram? Somebody just liked and said something cool about me. I got it. So, you know, you're kind of talking and looking, you know. I have this thing. I can't let notifications go unanswered. If there's an email, I got to find out what it is. Right? Who just retweeted me? Somebody really popular probably just retweeted me, and I need this good self-esteem boost, right? So guess what I did? I turned off all my notifications. Off my phone. Why? Because they were distracting me. I'm in prayer. Ding. Right? Friend. Ding. I was in a meeting today. Ding. I'm like, I'm tapping my fingers, right? I didn't look at it. I mean, I get dings on text, but everything else is off. So if I don't respond quickly on social media, that's why, because I open up when I want to open up. Amen? I don't let technology come before my Lord. I make sure that I'm going to have an encounter with the Lord first, and not that there's anything wrong with it. Amen? We just don't want there to be distractions. Do you know that they say 8 to 18-year-olds have approximately 7.5 hours a day on social media? A week. I'm sorry. That was a wow moment, but it was a week. Too much. Amen. No digital before Jesus. All of hell is trying to keep you away from hearing God. All of hell wants to keep you so busy so that you cannot hear what God has to say. The enemy doesn't want you to get into his presence so you can know you are highly loved and valuable and precious. The enemy doesn't want you to hear that you're about to step into your destiny and the greatest joy of your life, so he'll busy us, amen? What is competing? Let's remove those distractions in our life. Luke 10, verse 39 says this in 40, and we know this story. This was the same house. Jesus was saying the same thing, but it's two different experiences. And she had a sister named Mary who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was listening to his teachings. But Martha, overly occupied and too busy, was distracted with much serving. Same situation, same house, same talking, two different responses. Mary, who was listening to Jesus, which we find out in another book, I think this is Luke, I believe it's Mark, was the same Mary that after she heard Jesus, went and got the most expensive spikenard, the most valuable thing that she owned, and she brought it into that room, inferior of the men, didn't care what men had to say, and broke that open and anointed Jesus for his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, I believe that Jesus was probably talking about how he was going to die on that cross and how he was going to lay his life down. And Mary, because she was listening and not too distracted and busy, caught a revelation that he was the Messiah. Because she was listening and she went and got that perfume and she said, all of that I have, all that's valuable, I'm giving it to you, Jesus, because I believe in what you're about to do. See, when you're listening to Jesus and you're hearing his voice, you're like, my life is yours. All of it. I give it all. You want me to serve at Faith Builders? I'm going to serve. You want me to give? I'm going to give. You want me to lay hands on the sick? I'm going to lay hands on the sick. Why? Because I heard the assignment of God in my life. And those people who hear live fulfilled and happy. And all Martha did was get mad. And she judged her sister and she became a tattletale to Jesus. She did not discern the time, that it wasn't time to serve when Jesus came. Jesus, we served him every time he came. That was tradition. But today, I have to have ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. So we have to remove our distractions. Amen? All right, let's go to number three really quick. Luke 8:14. And the seed, I'm going to close with this one. And the seed fell among the weeds, stands for those who hear. Not yet, Sarah, just so you know. I'm sorry. The seed that fell among weeds stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries and riches and pleasures, and they don't mature. Number three is the immature heart has an inability to hear the voice of God. This is where the word of God comes, but if you think about weeds, you don't have to try to make weeds grow, do you? They just are there. How many's ever had a garden? I had this great idea. I think it was Elder Mike. This was back in the Midwest where the soil's really black and awesome. And I said, I want this big garden. So he came out and tilled this huge garden for me, beautiful black dirt. I went and got my pretty seeds. You know, I picked all the ones that I wanted. And I envisioned this perfect garden with, like, I had little cute steaks with, you know, said carrots, the picture of it, you know. And then the next one was a cute little picture, and it had peas. Like, it was this perfect little garden, and I went out there, and I laid out. I was just so proud. I'm like, I got this garden. This is awesome. And I went out there 2 days later, and it was weeds everywhere. I couldn't even tell where the good seed was from the weeds. It just came up all by themselves. So in the humid Midwest weather, I'm on my hands and knees. I'm like, I don't want to pull up my baby little carrots because they're so cute, like these little cute carrots. So I'm trying to pick out the weeds from the, I didn't have to make the weeds grow. They just grow. And they're not pleasant to take care of. I decided after two trips to the garden, gardening ain't for me. That is for the birds, as they would say, because it's too much work, right? What happens with the immature heart is you go, I'm saved. I'm fine. I don't care anymore. That's when the weeds start to grow up in our heart. I don't need to be challenged by God. You come to church every Sunday. That was probably a good word. I wasn't listening that good. You don't care to be challenged. It's just, I don't care attitude. I'm born again, and that's just enough for me. You may say, I'm just not into it anymore, right? Some of the seeds are just falling on neglect. Because we're not nurturing our heart. If I was to have a conversation with our pastors and elders, we were in Vegas. We had great adult conversations. I mean, I could have a conversation. We're talking vision. Why? Because we're both mature adults. But how many of you ever try to talk to a two-year-old? You ever walk up to one of the babies and they say, oh my God, you're so cute. I love you so much. Little babe, right? I enter into this like immature conversation because that's the only ability of level that baby can understand me. But I can go to a mature and I can begin to talk vision and we can be creative. And that's the same thing with the Lord. God is a speaking God, but we have trouble hearing him because of our immaturity and inability to hear a mature conversation, right? A conversation of wisdom. I can't receive it. You may be dissatisfied with the level of communication God has with you, but maybe God is asking us to grow up a little bit. Maybe you're a baby Christian here, and you stay right there as a baby Christian, and we will help you along the way, amen? But if you've been serving the Lord a certain amount of time, it's time to make our hearts accountable to the Lord. It's time to say, God, do I need to grow up in this area? Do I have to keep being asked, are you going to come to church? Are you going to come to the men's ministry? And I understand if you have schedules. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, is there a place in our life where we just need to do the works of the kingdom without being asked anymore? Or maybe bringing the creative idea to the local church and say, hey, I have a heart for the homeless. I got a van. I'm going to pick them up every week. Amen. I'm going to lay my life down. It's not my own because I'm getting myself out of the way. I'm taking the weeds out of my heart. And I'm going to hear, God, what do you want me to do for your kingdom in this season? It goes back to that scripture verse that the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are what? Or immature. I don't want to grow up. I don't want to change. I don't want to be accountable. Amen? God wants to give us some adult, sophisticated conversation. But it's time for us to grow up a little bit. We need to say, Lord, give me ears to hear what your Spirit has to say. How do we do that? Hebrews 12:1. And 2 says, since we are surrounded by so many great examples of faith, what are we to do as a believers? Find people of faith. Follow them. Look up to them. Find mentors. We have pastors and elders here. They are people of faith that can lead you to a place of maturity. We hope to challenge you over the next few months to find your gifts and your callings. We want to be able to do that. Find it in the Word of God. Men of faith, women of faith in the Bible. We must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially sin that distracts us. We must run the race that lies ahead of us and never give up. We must focus on Jesus. What does he say to deal with the immature heart? Find a mentor, find a person of faith, and deal with the garbage of your heart. And keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen? And the last one, number 4, is you have to have a prepared heart. Luke 8:15, but the seeds on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. This is the good soil, amen? All that God is doing in our life must be prepared. Get your hearts prepared to hear what God has to say. God's voice is the clearest in a prepared environment. You have a trouble hearing God? Number 1, what I say, get rid of the pollutants. Number 2, remove distractions. Number 3, let's grow up a little bit. And number 4, your heart is prepared to receive all that God has for you. You can't grow bananas in Alaska. You got to grow them in Jamaica. Right? You put the seed in the right environment, you produce a wonderful harvest. Do you see the importance of our heart? Put it in the right environment. How do I do that? Repent. We talked about that. Refocus. Number 2, 3, and revive yourself. Revive. Get on fire for Jesus. Amen. Start getting committed. And I'll close with this scripture verse, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Let's make a clean break with everything that defiles or distracts us. That's good, isn't it? Let's make a clean break. Just cut it off. No, like, pulling, like, I'm going to stop it. No, stop it. I'm going to make a clean break with everything that defiles or distracts me, both within and without. Let's make our entire lives fit and holy temples for the worship of God. Amen. Get rid of anything in your life that opposes the voice of God in your life. Amen. Let's close our eyes.